Hello, everyone. Welcome to Reliving the Extreme. Nate Maxson here with you, your host. This week we're reviewing the episode of ECW from May the 14th, 1996. Aaron will be along shortly, but I am joined by Mr. Chad Austin.
Hey.
How's it going, Chad?
It's going, buddy. It's going.
I don't know why I went into morning drive radio disc jockey voice there. How's it going, Chad? Good morning, Chad? Everybody. Good morning, everyone.
Traffic and weather on the 8th.
Traffic and weather brought to you by Ford, the Ford dealership.
Ford. No, but a Ford dealership.
My a Ford dealership.
There he is.
We were talking and then I wanted to start recording because I wanted to ask Chad about this. Aaron is here now. How did you get to see the CM Punk? The CM Punk interview today on MMA Hour with that guy with the funny name.
No, Ariel Helwani?
Yeah, that guy.
I mean, was that on YouTube or was that on XM Radio?
I think it's on YouTube now. I just saw a clip. I saw a couple clips when I got home from work today. But apparently CM Punk finally opened up about, you know, all the shit behind the scenes at AEW. But I think one of the funniest things was he said, "I don't want to litigate this," essentially was his words about it. But he said, essentially the whole situation was he told Tony Khan he wanted out. And Tony Khan gave him the whole idea of, well, I'll just separate everybody and make two shows. And Punk essentially said that he told Tony Khan, "This company's a joke and you're a clown and I quit." And I picture that in my head. Just, I wish I would have been a fly on the wall for that conversation. And then Tony's like, "It's the first time I ever felt physically threatened in my life." But that shit cracked me up. He's like, "I told him this company," he said, "You're not in business to make money," is his thing. He's like, this isn't a business. This place is a joke and you're a clown.
And I'll find out from Jeff. I'll text Jeff later on tonight. See what Jeff will tell me, whatever he knows. He's a dirt guy. He knows all that shit. So he'll scoop me. There's the golden boy.
Can you hear us, Aaron? Yeah, Aaron. All right. Just making sure you could hear us.
I can hear you.
All right. But yeah, I didn't. I guess that means there was no NDAs or anything. Punk just until today didn't feel like talking about it. And I'm sure there's always a strategic reason for why people do things. CM Punk talked about that today because he's a businessman and they know that it's WrestleMania week. And any attention they can get on the WWE this week, even if they're talking about AEW, even if Punk's talking about AEW, is good attention for the WWE, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but what is Punk? Ain't got nothing to lose.
No.
Like you said, I mean, he just didn't feel like talking about it before, you know. Plus, he had a pretty good platform.
Mm-hmm.
If he was on Ariel Helwani's show, that's a pretty big, you know, show.
And with something like this, also, I think this is the, from what he said, him saying this place is a joke and you're a clown. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I think with that situation, Tony Khan's best course of action is to not respond at all, because he's just going to make it worse for himself.
Yeah, I mean, what was he going to say? I mean, you think Tony Khan's funny enough or witty enough to come back with anything? Or
right, that's what I'm saying. Like, the guy said you're a joke. He said you're a clown. Let it go, or you're going to look like a joke and a clown and just prove him right. Just let it go.
Yeah, well, Tony Khan's doing something right. I don't know. I know he's not putting ass in the seats, but he's selling a whole lot of empty seat tickets.
It's funny, too, because, like, you were saying, Nate, where he's talking about, like, Punk was saying this about these guys or whatever. I don't like read too much into, like, when people post shit on Facebook or whatever, like, oh, this article came up or whatever. But I like reading the comments, And it's not because, like, I think, oh, these people have insight. It's because I like to laugh at their ignorance.
watch a meltdown over fucking wrestling.
And like all these AEW fans or whatever. And I'm not a WWE guy. I'm not an AEW guy. I don't watch a lot of modern wrestling. I keep up with it enough just to know what's going on. It's so funny though, because like now they're like, oh, CM Punk, he doesn't fucking matter. He doesn't mean anything. He brought nothing to the promotion. But when he showed up, they were like, this is the greatest thing ever, man. He's the best ever. Best in the world. And then like the minute he shits on him, they're like, he brought nothing to the promotion.
Didn't he bring $1 million gate?
He did. First
$1 million gate?
Yeah.
Who else did that?
Yeah.
Wasn't Jack Swagger. It wasn't who's that little kid that Marco Stunt? He didn't make $1 million. or Daddy Magic.
Marco Stunt was standing by maybe behind a baby gate, but he didn't draw a gate.
Yeah, I mean, how can you say that? I mean, it was like you said, at the time, Tony Khan made it sound like it was the greatest thing in the world. I got CM Punk. Oh, my God, this is great. And all of a sudden, no, you didn't do nothing.
Yeah.
Well, he did something.
Because, I mean,
he ain't doing nothing in WWE right now, I'll tell you that. Dude, how can that guy have so much money, man? Like he cannot stay healthy long enough to like do anything.
He has the benefit. He has the Roddy Piper thing. He has the benefit of also being able, okay, I'm injured, but man, I can still talk. So he still brings that to the table. I mean, I've always said that, and you guys can tell me if you disagree, but that's how I look at Punk. I look at Punk as having the Piper thing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he said it. He said it himself on one of the shows that since he can't work, he can still put on the cans. He said, and still get behind the table. I mean, he's got to justify something. I mean, you know, you can't just go home and just stay home until you're healthy and then come back and get hurt again. You got to justify getting paid.
And I know that mailbox. I know they haven't really said anything about it, but I'm sure they're utilizing him at the Performance Center too. You know, you want to put some new guys through promo school. He'd be a good guy to you know, like Dusty, to put him through promo school. So
I don't know, man. I could argue that because CM Punk's promos are all about CM Punk and his stuff. I'm not sure he could speak for somebody else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He only talks about he's the one that does it all himself. You know,
like, yeah.
He brings all his stuff on himself. So it'd be kind of hard to teach somebody else who doesn't know a story or don't even have a story to try to bring that out of somebody when you don't know them. You know, but I mean, I guess you could help. I guess you could help in a sense. But he definitely ain't no Dusty. When you're talking about just doing generic promo, no, I don't mean generic as in. Just generic promos.
Right.
Punk ain't that guy. Punk's always got an angle.
Yeah, I'm sure you're probably right. He's probably doing something there because that's what he said. Like his main, I shouldn't say his main goal, but his end game was with going back to the WWE was eventually working with developmental and everything like that. Like he said, once he wound it up or whatever, that's what he wanted to do.
He's not even that old.
Once I hang up my knee braces.
Yeah. He's not even that old. Christ, he ain't 50. You know, he's in his what, mid 40s, maybe late 40s?
I'm 45 and I think he's about the same age as me.
Yeah, and what's his like? Just call it like his adult run, since he's been, you know. Yeah, I guess
He was born October 26, 1978. So he's like 20 days younger than me.
And which is Adult Run been? You know, he's been around for like 25 years, but how much of that was steady? You know, concurrent. It's his longest run was when he was a nobody. All of a sudden he becomes somebody, and all that, he gets hurt all the goddamn time.
Well, if you hear rumbling behind me here, there are thunderstorms apparently rolling in here. I can hear them. I guess we'll get into the ECW episode, and in case we don't make time this week, Aaron also has a little extracurricular thing that he's brought as well. Not a bong, but the episode of it, it's just this again. This is another one of those episodes of the show. It's not bad. It's just a one match show, pretty much. But the show is May 14th, 1996, ECW Hardcore TV. And we start out with about a minute of a match between El Puerto Ricano and Damien. And Joey Styles mentions that they've been having a match that pretty much is a tribute to Sabu. It's kind of what he's alluding to. There's a table out there. And like I said, we don't see enough of the match to know how the match was, you know.
Well, did they call him El Puerto Ricano or did they call him Ubez?
No, they called him
Puerto Rican.
Okay, because I wrote him down as Ubez, because that's how I knew him. But I thought maybe they just said that on the show too. I didn't catch the hell they named him. But yeah, I mean, what you saw, about a minute, maybe a minute.
I think before there wasn't even
Sabu runs out.
There wasn't even enough of the match. Where, to be honest with you, I don't think we ever even saw Damien's face. I just saw like the back of his head, and then his ass, and then Sabu puts them both through the table, pretty much.
I would have loved to have met Damien. I never got a chance to meet him, man. I always was kind of a mark for him, like a little bit in FMW and stuff like that. But I was kind of upset when I saw him. Like, damn, I didn't get to meet you. I didn't get to meet Damien.
I always was back in the Monday Night War eras. He was always one of the Lucha guys on WCW that I gravitated to. Because even though he never got a push or anything, he had a unique look.
And but he wasn't really a Lucha guy.
No, and that's what I'm saying. Like they included him in that little group, but that's why he kind of fascinated me at the time, because he doesn't look like the rest of them. They're all wearing masks and shit, and he's just got on makeup and, you know, he's wearing like a t-shirt and some workout pants or whatever. And I don't know, he was just intriguing. I always liked him too.
Yeah, I only liked him, and I only saw him in FMW, and he didn't really do anything in FMW either. I just liked his look.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought he had a pretty cool look. But yeah, Sabu came in and just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, the whole point of this was just once again to put over Sabu and let you know he's here, you know, and he's a big part of ECW. Aaron, any comments on this short segment that started the show?
Not really. It's what you guys said. It was just two guys that basically were doing a Sabu match against each other, and Sabu came out and fucked them up. I mean, it was what it was. It's reestablishing Sabu, because, I mean, we haven't really seen much of him lately, and they're rolling into, like, Taz calling out. Like, Taz hasn't specifically called out Sabu, but he did, like, the point to the ceiling thing or whatever. It's just their way of getting Sabu back on there, so people understand.
Right, right. It's kind of reintroducing them and letting them know that he's back. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. It's a good way to get Damien on the show, because you know Damien and Sabu are buddies, so it's a good way to get him a spot on the show, and then, you know, to bring back Sabu. It really there was nothing there to showcase between Puerto Ricano and Damien anyway, so it really didn't matter. Although I would like to see more of it, honestly.
Yeah,
it would have been halfway decent, I thought.
I hate to say it because Too Cold's in it, but I would have actually liked to see more of this match and less of Too Cold and Douglas. you could have edited Too Cold and Douglas and given me more of this match, and I probably would have liked the show a little better. But yeah, we get Joey Styles. Oh, go ahead, Chad.
There wasn't no chance to really add any more to it. I mean, what were you going to, unless you, they didn't really edit much. I don't think the match wasn't going to be that long to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, unless you gave them, you know, I don't know what was going on, where that match was on the show, you know, live in front of the crowd, but yeah, they could have gave them, you know, 8 or 10 minutes, probably, I guess. I mean, there's no reason to use Damian like that at all. That's basically my point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to use him, and you just bring him in, and then he gets like about 90 seconds, a minute and a half or whatever, and then Sabu comes in and beats them all up. And then that's his big ECW debut.
After this, they recap all of the very convoluted stuff we went through last week with Too Cold Scorpio and Shane Douglas over the TV title situation. And then we go into our match. It's for the ECW World Television title, Shane Douglas and Too Cold.
Can I say something though?
Yeah.
And we talked about it last week too, that it seemed convoluted or whatever. And I know Joey was kind of doing what he was saying, what Paulie wanted him to say or whatever, but Joey actually did a good job at explaining what the fuck was going on with this. You know what I mean? Like, last week it seemed convoluted or whatever, but Joey did a good job at it, like, re-explaining that Shane doesn't really want the TV title. And the only reason he's going to this match now is because Too Cold attacked him or whatever. So
good point. You're right. He did emphasize that, I think, more than once. Where he said Shane didn't even want a title.
Yeah, and Joey did a good job at coming back this week and explaining the convoluted shit from the week before. Mm-hmm. Like, he made it make sense. And
I agree.
I was like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. It's like, I understand now, buddy. That makes sense.
I'll tell you one thing. Scorpio's intro should somehow be in, like, on the opening or something of our show. That whole entire ripped, jack, chiseled, whatever. Like, that needs to be somehow edited into the beginning of our show. It just kept going on. And I was like, dude, it just kept going on. I remember them doing that intro, but I didn't know that was a The one tonight was a good one, because he just went on about Scorpio. I was like, that's what I wrote down. This somehow has to be on the opening of our show.
And I wrote down, like, that's a cool gimmick or whatever. And Devon stole it.
Yeah.
Like, later on, like, Devon totally stole that from Too Cold.
Uh-huh. Yep. We haven't got there yet, have we? No.
No, not yet. But yeah, like, later on, Joel uses that gimmick. He uses that Too Cold gimmick for Devon later on.
Dude, about 2-3 minutes into this match, I had wrote down, you can tell this is going to be a long match. When they start out, them two doing, like, the amateur spots, the go behind, yeah. I was like, oh, this is going to be it. Yeah. I better grab me another beer and put some popcorn in the microwave, because these guys ain't going 2 minutes.
And the only, the rest of my notes are just notes on the match. But I do have one question on it, and it would be more for Chad, because he would be able to speak it as looking at a worker. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody on this, because it's fucking, 30 years later or whatever. do you think Shane, because Shane went from being like an average looking built wrestler, and now he's getting pretty jacked. Do you think Shane was on the gas at this point?
Oh, yeah. He was. Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's not even, I'm sure Shane would even probably tell you that. At that time, I mean, it was because he even brought up, when I kind of laughed at that when he was talking about when he was like, what was it in WWF or what, when he brought up about the 205 pound guys, he said it in his promo. Like mm-hmm. when I was in whatever, when he was in hell for whatever with the 205 pound guys. And I'm just like, yeah, look at you now though, Shane, you know, that was you then. And now you're 247 pounds. Dude, say something about 247 pounds. Come on. Not if, he could, unless he had like Spike Dudley in his pocket. He ain't 247 pounds. How about that chair shot?
Question two that I wrote down.
What's that?
Oh, I had a question that I wrote down through watching the match as well. I didn't write a lot of specifics down, but I was just going to ask you two, because he has one of my favorites, maybe number two. Who's your favorite moonsault?
My favorite who?
Who does your moonsault?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, Scorpio's is perfect. Angle's is perfect.
I wrote down Scorpio and Angle for me. I didn't, and yeah. I just didn't know if you guys would come up with somebody that I wasn't thinking of. But
I like Muta's. I like Muta's because Muta's comes across way more believable as a real move. Because he doesn't go straight up and like, you know, he's not picture perfect like Angle is, where he has that high arch. You know, mm-hmm. he puts you like a little further out and he jumps to you, not like at you where you're right there and he goes high up and turns. He jumps out and Muta crushes you. So that's why, I mean, I think Muta has like, from a pro wrestling standpoint, I think Muta looks better than Angle's, but Angle's and is perfect. I mean, it's just perfect. That whole glide over kind of thing, but it's too perfect for like pro wrestling. If that makes any sense,
right?
I'd say visually wise, Chad's right, or wrestling wise, Chad's right. But to me, and this you guys are probably gonna laugh at me or whatever, but watching a guy do it and whatever, and just imagining this guy doing it to you, I'd say Vader.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Vader.
Oh yeah. Mood is gonna hit me. I'm just saying like the visualization of it. It's like, oh, Mood is gonna hit me with it, or Kurt's gonna hit me with it. These guys are like 220 or whatever. This is like a 410 pound guy fucking doing it. Like, yeah, that's scary fucking looking.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary for the thought of it, but the actuality of it, Vader, he does way too much to protect you, which makes it worse, you know, because he barely ever hits you. He never, like, squashes anybody. He always either, you know, a lot of times he has to put his arms out to, like, touch the guy just because he doesn't want to kill the guy on the way down. Because if he did...
I'm saying, watching the dude fucking do it, that's my favorite one.
Oh, being laying there? Weird. If you had to lay there and take it? And you watch him climb to the top rope? Shit.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is it.
I'd probably rather take. Honestly, I'd probably rather take his moonsault than that one where he does the bounce off the ropes, where he's on the middle ropes and he bops up and down and jumps on you. Because that's a, you know, if he doesn't land on his knees and his elbows, you're finished. That big slob landing on you like that, you are finished.
The funny thing about
what he gave me, I don't think he gave me anything.
But the funny thing about all of it is, of all these guys that do these moonsaults, the guy that actually caused the realistic most damage ever was Kurt Angle.
Yeah, you think? Oh no, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar was a Shooting Star Press.
Yeah, but Angle fucked Bob Holly up with his when he came down on his arm with his knees when he did that moonsault. Yeah.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kurt even said, like, he did the moonsault a couple times and fucked it up and didn't hit it right. And then that one night that he wrestled Bob, he hit like a picture perfect moonsault and landed right on Bob's fucking, like, Bob fucked up. Like, Bob even admitted, like, I fucked up. And he hit the fucking moonsault perfectly and just landed on his fucking arm.
I tell you, my moonsaults stunk. I was terrible. The only time I ever did perfect moonsaults is when I knew I was going to miss the guy. That's when I would do like the perfect like float over backwards, whatever. But if I had to land it, I was so paranoid of killing the guy. I always called it the moon slop. Because I never wanted to like hurt the guy, so I would either not go straight back over. I would always turn my head so I could watch where the guy was because I didn't want to hurt the guy. So I just called it the moon slop. So very very seldom did I ever land it. I could do the split leg of moonsault fine. That was not a big deal, or that Arabian one where he bounces his legs off the ropes and goes back. I could do them too fine, but. Just a regular moonsault. If I'm going to hit you, dude, it's not going to look great. I can just tell you. But to me, a sloppy moonsault could be just as effective as a picture perfect one. It should be anyway in real life.
Yeah,
you would think.
Did anybody have any notes about any spots in the? I mean, the match was good. I didn't write down a lot of spots or anything though. Anybody have anything they want to bring?
Oh, just the only thing I wrote down for them
stuck out.
Yeah, the only thing that stood out to me was when Shane threw that chair.
That was pretty wicked.
He just threw that chair at Scorpio, like literally. You know how Rob Van Dam does it, where he kind of like gives it to you.
Yeah,
and you can't. No, Shane threw that bitch. Like, and I was like, God damn, you know. And luckily, Scorp got his hands up to protect himself, but that was a pretty stiff chair shot, and the slingshot on the guardrail was pretty cool. Remember that, Aaron?
Yeah. The only other note I have is, and this is going to bring up Davey Boy Smith, which is probably out of left field, but Davey used to do, spot where it wasn't really a move, but he'd do like that handspring spot, you know what I'm talking about, like where somebody would grab him and it almost looked like he did a handspring like off the top of his fucking head. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Fucking Shane pulls it off in this fucking match. I'm like, oh, like he hit it. I'm like, oh, he stole that from Davey. But it was like the Davey Boy handspring deal into like a like into an arm twist. It was like, it was a cool fuck, like Davey did it. I'm like, I've never seen another guy fucking do that other than Davey. And then I watched this match. I'm like, Shane fucking stole that from Davey. Which
that's a big whatever. Shane Douglas high spot. Good lord.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that awesome. Yeah, I mean, his Davey's big a much better
match was he stole from Davey Boy Smith.
I love Davey Boy Smith, but anyway, I like the match itself wasn't bad, but I don't think it should have been. The entire show.
No, that should have been that match should have been edited down to make you want to buy the tape, kind of thing. Because it wasn't, I guess in a 5-star system, it was a 3-star match. So, you know, to make it your whole entire basic TV episode, you know, I would have cut it down and I would have cut it down to like and added some other stuff on the show and cut edited it down and sold it as a home video, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, disappoint people behind your back. Yeah, I mean, don't disappoint them on TV while you're all watching it. Let them pay the $20 and then go home and watch it and go, this match really wasn't that great. It was all right.
They did do one thing. That because I had watched this, so like I didn't remember watching this, so I was going into it with not knowing what the finish was going to be or whatever. But they actually faked me out because usually in wrestling, when they give the countdown, when they're like 5 minutes remaining or whatever, like this shit's gonna end in a draw. Yep. So the minute Joel Gertner was like 5 minutes remaining, I'm like, oh fuck, this is gonna end in a draw. So I even wrote down like. As I'm watching, I'm like, oh, foreshadowing. But it wasn't because they actually went into the finish with like 2 minutes remaining. So I'll give him that.
Let me ask you, do you think that was done on purpose?
Yeah. And they worked me in that situation.
I mean, do you think it was done on purpose? Like they could have went to the draw and not said anything, but do you think at some point Paul like Iggy Gertner and be like, you know what, tell him. Just, you know. Cause you know,
I think he did it because he wanted those people to think, oh, this is gonna be a fucking 30-minute draw.
Yeah. Cause that was my first impression too, Aaron, when I heard him say like the 2 minutes or whatever left, I was like, oh man. But yeah, it was good because it means it shows some believability. You know, because the fans are already trained at that point to believe that when you say that, it's going to be a draw. So I'm sure everybody in the crowd was probably thinking it was going to be a draw. Did he say it was like 2 minutes left?
Yeah, because I think I wrote down,
I said it was 5 minutes.
5 minutes. The time was 26 minutes. But I could have swore they said there was 2 minutes left. And I'm like, wait, no, there's not. There's more than 2 minutes left. Because they announced it at 26 and some change. But it was definitely a decent match. I mean, but decent is about as far as it goes.
Well, you said, Chad, it makes sense because I just wrote it down. I just noticed. Like I said, like they said 5 minutes to go. Shane ends up hitting a super belly to belly suplex, and Gertner actually announced the match as Shane is your new TV champion at 26 minutes and 31 seconds.
Yeah. So I don't know, whatever. Close enough, man. You know what I mean? You're gonna beat him up over maybe 90 seconds.
And then after the match, like Aaron said, Shane wins the TV title from Scorpio after a belly to belly off the top, or second turnbuckle, I guess. And then they shake hands. But okay, before that, what I wrote down is Shane Douglas cuts a promo. Hasn't he cut this promo before?
I thought he was going to throw the belt down.
I did too. He's like, I wrestled the greats, like the Ricky Steamboats and the Ric Flairs and the
Luther.
I was just like, you've cut this fucking. What the hell is going on here?
I could have sworn.
And they can all kiss my ass.
I thought the same thing too. I thought he was going to throw that belt down. You know, I was like, oh my God, we've already done this. He wrestled George Hackenschmidt. And the Stan Lewis Zbyszkos.
Yeah, Stan Lewis Sauces.
The McGuire twins.
He should have started going through his, like, WCW run.
The Ding Dongs.
I teamed with the Johnny Ace.
Wrestled the Ding Dongs. I wrestled the Paul Romas. I wrestled the Bob Cooks. I wrestled the...
The Ding Dongs. That would have been classic. Or he should have went to like every company that he worked for. Alan Martin, Continental.
The Bashes.
Yeah. Wrestled the Dusty Wolves.
Mike Boyette. The Hippie. Yeah, he really should have went through his whole resume. Barry Horowitz. I wrestled them all, and then just throw in a Ric Flair, or not even, you know what I mean, just throw in somebody halfway decent while you're mentioning all these other guys. Dusty Wolf.
I wrestled Barry Horowitz. I wrestled Rusty Brooks. I wrestled Chad Fortune. I wrestled Chip the Firebreaker. I wrestled Ric Flair. I wrestled Dale Wolf again.
And the Ding Dongs.
I wrestled the Bob Cooks twice in one TV taping.
Gene Ligon.
I wrestled Larry Santos.
Dude, that would have been classic. Just name people from every company that he worked for.
Buddy Lee Parker.
Freezer Thompson. And
that fucking guy that Buddy Lee Parker teamed with.
I wouldn't fuck with Buddy Lee Parker. He probably would beat Shane's ass. The other guy was what, Earl somebody? I was getting ready to say James Earl Jones.
I think you're close. I think it was like James Earl Ray or something like that.
Was it Earl Wright, maybe?
Colonel Earl Wright. James Earl Ray, the guy that shot Martin Luther King.
Maybe, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if WCW used that name, though. They had no Cooth.
for what name?
James Earl Ray manage Harlem Heat.
Mantar.
And they can all eat my shorts.
PN News. Just all the classic guys. The Candyman. Brad Armstrong. Arachnaman. Name all Brad Armstrong's gimmicks.
All right, it was James Earl Wright.
It wasn't James Earl Jones. Are you sure?
I had to go back and look because I was like, well, that's fucking bothering me now.
I knew Earl was in it somewhere.
And that's three names. And that's the one he ends it with. And James Earl Wright. They can all kiss my ass.
The Empire Struck Back. Captain James Earl
throws
Jones.
The belt down. And before he throws the belt down, he's like, and the fat man himself, Rusty Brooks.
and again, just to throw in during all that, Ric Flair's. Yeah. How great would that would have been if it would have been like just a 5-minute promo of just Shane?
Everybody
he ever wrestled.
Beetlejuice.
He starts it off. This one's for you, Kowalski.
All the Peachtree Jobbers. It would have been fantastic.
Alan Martin. The guys who wrestled like in three with three different characters, it would have been classic too. Like I said, if he already named like the Thunder Feet,
he's like, I went through all that. Now I went through
the whole Thunderfoot locker.
He's like, and now I'm finally literally at center stage as the ECW TV champion.
Yeah. Oh my God, that could have been that could have been the best thing on the show ever.
I don't think we're gonna need your top 10 list, Aaron. We're good.
Oh, I got it though. We're only at 38 minutes.
That Shane Douglas beat. That's the only top 10 list we need right now. Yeah. Because you know damn well as the show goes on. Me or Aaron are gonna spit out some more names. Special Delivery Joneses. The master himself, Dominic DiNucci. Do you want to continue or you just want to name jobbers?
Yoshi Kwan.
Baron Miguel Cicluna.
I'm trying to think of WCW jobbers.
Oh, we already named all the WCW jobbers. And then he came back out and wrestled James Earl Jones again.
The Cruel Connection 1 and the Cruel Connection 2.
And then I beat him in a handicap match. It was Cruel Connection 3. Oh, dude. Why couldn't somebody back then have seen this as gold? Just name them all. Name them all. Name them all. Just keep going, Shane. He wouldn't even name me. He beat me a couple times, even. I could have been a cruel connection.
Lee, I love him being. I love him being more pissed off. I love him being more pissed off about having to work with fucking Yoshi Kwan and fucking Bob Cook and Ric Flair and Ricky Steamboat. Like, I went through right. this no, shit to get no, here.
I think it's better. Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, it's better that he's pissed off that he had to wrestle them guys. He's out here trying to be the best in the world, and he wants to be out there with the Ric Flairs and the Ricky Steamboats, but he's out there each and every week with Bob Cook. Like, what is this company trying to do to me?
Larry
Sanders. Well, we're trying to elevate Bob Cook. I mean, what do you think we're trying to do? The juicer. Oh, Norman the trucker. If he would announce them as Norman the trucker.
Mike Shaw.
Yeah, Norman the lunatic. Bastion Booker.
The fat man, Norman the lunatic.
Yeah.
The fat man himself. Norman the lunatic.
That's the angle. That's the angle. It's him naming everybody who had the same guy who had three or four different names. That's the Mr. Wrestling 5. All the Armstrongs.
Armstrong Alley. Line them
Armstrongs. Up. Like even some of the people that he knew. Jim Armstrong. He just starts naming off people that he used to work at Target with. Tracy Smother Armstrong.
Frank Dozad from Receiving.
Doris's husband. That fat piece of crap.
Evil Greeter Phyllis.
The Greeter Phyllis. That piece of garbage that works in that deli. I'm not even going to say their name.
Gladys. You know who you are, Hairnet.
Yeah. F you, Gladys.
That's the dumbest gimmick we've ever thought of.
What, naming off all his jobbers?
Yeah.
That's not a dumb gimmick at all. That's the grit. It's saving this show. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, shit. But yeah, after Shane cuts this promo, which is very similar to his NWA championship promo from a few years ago, he gives respect to ECW, gives respect to Scorpio, and they shake hands, and then he does.
How
he
transparent does, was that, by the way?
He does the heel thing. Hey, Scorpio, strap the belt around my waist.
Well, that's the heel thing, but Scorpio, like I don't know, I thought it was all just too transparent, like because you know Scorpio wasn't going to do it. So what was he going to do? I mean, he could have. I mean, if it wasn't going to, just say he wasn't going to attack him, right? You know, it wasn't going to go anywhere. Just drop the belt, you know, roll out. You know what I mean? And but like when he's telling him to strap it on, I'm like, fuck you. You know what I mean about a Scorpio? You know, you ain't going to do all that. And then, so I mean, it was kind of transparent to me, and everybody knew he was going to do it.
Right,
no chance that Scorpio is going to put that belt on Lee Wong and just roll out.
But yeah, Scorpio instead clocks Douglas with the title, gives him a pile driver, and then an Alabama jam off the top rope with a chair to Shane Douglas. I don't know. Was that necessary at the end? I don't know. It made for great material on this show, but was any of that really necessary at the end? I don't know. I guess I like Scorpio a lot, but I'm just not into the Scorpio Douglas thing they're doing here, I guess.
Well, I don't know where it leads to off the top of my head. I can't remember where it goes to, or does it go to anywhere?
I don't think so, because aren't we almost, Aaron, to the Douglas Gary Wolf shit? We're almost there, aren't we?
96? Was that 96?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're close to it. But I think they go a little bit longer with Too Cold chasing Shane a little bit more from the belt.
Well, it could have went a little bit longer at naming more jobbers.
but like I said, I don't want to say that I remember, because I don't, but I think the way they're going with it is it's Shane disrespecting Too Cold, beating him, and then making him respect him, and Too Cold being like, fuck you, you know what I mean? So that's the only way I'd look at it is,
yeah, you're that's how it was. I mean that's all it was. That's right. We're just kind of dissecting it a little bit, but that's all it was. Yeah, it was simple, and that's, you know, and it made it easy for everybody in the crowd to digest. Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody wanted. Would the crowd have really been? What would the crowd have done if Scorpio were just put the belt on him and just left? They'd be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? That would have killed Scorpio.
Yeah, this is ECW, but, motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, he could have did it like in two ways. The way they did it, or just flat out go to hand him the belt and just drop it. And make Shane pick it up. I mean, yeah. But they got their point across. That's what it did. Israel Mattia.
For the Dwayne Gills and the Barry Hardys.
Jeez, always. Good thing we got that out of this.
Joey then talks about how coming up now, because Shane Douglas has heat with Tommy Dreamer and the Sandman, that there's going to be things coming up with the TV title involving also the Sandman and Tommy Dreamer with Shane Douglas. And then the Sandman, and Missy Hyatt do a little tribute to Ray Stevens, who had just passed away. I think like May 3rd or 4th of 96, Ray Stevens passed away. So they do a little
about 2 weeks.
Yeah, Sandman pouring one back for the Crippler. That's a guy that, to be honest, I haven't seen a lot of Ray Stevens. And it's my own fault. I guess I could go back and watch and look stuff up, but
I never got to see that much of him until later. I mean, because when I was a kid, I only got to see him when he came in to fight Backlund, probably mm-hmm. much like you did. And you know,
I wouldn't have even seen that, because I mean,
well, if you think about it, a lot of his. That shit might not even still be available to watch. You know what I mean? Unless it's in clips or whatever, or on film. When I say film, I don't mean like videotape. I mean like actual film.
Yeah, yeah. Like the Mike Lano stuff.
Because it's like the 60s, 70s.
That's what I got. But the stuff that I got from San Francisco is all on film. But like I said, that came well after I already knew about Ray Stevens. But when I was a kid, I only knew about him coming in, you know, as one of Backlund's folks.
For me, to be honest, I was born in 78. So by the time I got old enough, to start, you know, being looking into like actual like the history of the business and shit was in the early 90s. Like through the whole 80s, the only Ray Stevens I knew about was the guy that sang the Streak. Ray Stevens.
The and he had the Aram. Hang out the burning sand.
Now, what? Now you going to name off all Ray Stevens characters or Cat Stevens?
Don't let
Little Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens.
Cat Stevens.
Beast Train.
Ahab the Arab is classic. The Streak.
I love Ahab the Arab. Ahab the Arab is his funniest song, man. It's one of the most racist fucking things I've ever watched or heard in my life, but it's so funny.
Shane should have said his name. Ahab the Arab.
For the Ahab the Arabs and the Sheik Streets.
Yeah, he, and the Sheiks. He had red. He had rings on his fingers and bells on his cheeks.
Yeah. Fuck you and the cat and the cradle and the silver spoon. What a jerk as Shane Douglas is.
Anyway, Ray Stevens.
Yes.
Ray Stevens.
After Sandman's tribute to Ray Stevens, we get a promo by the Eliminators. Of course, talking about the Gangstas and their impending matchup that is coming up for the ECW tag titles.
Dude, I don't know about you guys, but do the Eliminators scare you more than the Gangstas do? A
little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I remember looking at it going, yeah, these guys, I know what the Gangstas are doing. They're just threatening you when you just know you're going to get your ass beat. But it looks like the Eliminators are really going to hurt you. Like they're really going to fuck you up.
Harry Saturn at this point in his career is fucking terrifying. Like he is a terrifying looking human being. Like the minute he cut that fucking mullet off, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like he is. I don't want to get like too weird in it or whatever, but like. As a look and his promos and shit, it's fucking crazy. Like it's more like you said with the Gangstas, it's more terrifying with
because Harry, the Gangstas are
his promo.
The Gangstas are just gonna punch you and kick you. Right? You know damn well that if you get into a street fight with the Eliminators, John Cronus is gonna do a handspring elbow on you. And you know, I mean in a street fight. He's going to moonsault you off of something.
And Perry's, like New Jack, his promos are funny. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. they got some humor to them and or whatever, but fucking Perry's promos are just matter of fact and fucking terrifying.
Yeah, because he did say they were going to, I mean, he used the F word too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, because I remember when I was watching it, I kind of turned my back for a second, and I was like, wait a minute, I think I just heard Terry, I just heard Saturn just say the F, drop an F-bomb on ECW. Yeah, because, you know, like I said, what's the worst that's going to happen against the Gangstas? They're just going to punch you and kick you. You don't know what the hell, dude, imagine getting total eliminated in a street fight. You know what I'm saying? They just stand you up in the middle of Dante Street over here where I live, and they just give you a total elimination. Screw that.
You know, I think the Eliminators, at this point, are the coolest team in that entire company, and I don't know, and I don't. You said, I don't know why John, it might be because of his lifestyle choices or whatever, but I don't know why it was just Perry going to WCW and not Perry and Cronus. If they would have went there, I think it would have been a whole different thing.
What do you mean lifestyle choices? Well, I mean, I just didn't think he wanted to go. Did he kind of get out of the business?
Cronus?
Yeah.
No, he's stuck with ECW and after.
Well, that's what I mean. He's stuck with ECW, but that's about it. Is that what you mean? Lifestyle choices?
I just heard he had. Like I said, I don't know the people or anything like that, but I just always heard that he had substance choices and shit like that, and that might have kept him from going further into like WCW or the WWE. And I don't know, whatever, but
ECW in the 90s. Go figure. People had substance issues. I think I peed for more people in that locker room than anybody.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here, but we're talking about May of 1996 right now. And if I look at the tag team rosters in WCW, I'm just going WCW, WWF, and ECW. Those three companies. So we're talking, that's all that's pretty much your major North American rosters. I think there can be a case made that for a time in the year 1996, the Eliminators were the best tag team in North America.
Oh, they definitely were. Oh, yeah. I think, I don't know if it's been said yet on TV by Joey, but yeah, they definitely were. Undoubtedly. I mean, who at that point, and besides, like, you know, the big teams like the Steiners, Road Warriors, Nasty Boys, et cetera,
and I'm not taking anything away from them, but those three tag teams you just named in 1996 are past their prime as tag teams, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean,
there's only one team that I would say, and you guys will probably tell me I'm wrong, but the only team I'd say that was even close to them was Harlem Heat.
Oh, the Nightmares. I was a big fan of the Nightmares. You didn't like them?
No, I respect that, but I'm just saying, like, of those three companies that Nate mentioned of just teamwork and, like, whatever, I'd say Harlem Heat would be the only team that would be able to cover them with, like, impactful moves or whatever.
Because I do know that me and my buddy, the Bird Watcher, we both had a discussion about, like, in 1985, 86, the Nightmares were the best tag team in North America. Like, but that was, you know, you're talking, you know, work rate, territory kind of thing, not major level, you know, TV stuff. But yeah, they were probably in that, when you think about it big picture wise, you know, the big companies.
Yeah.
They were definitely the best, like, most exciting. Best, you know, I wouldn't say best workers, but best workers.
Yeah. Yeah. So after the Eliminators promo, we get a Dudley's promo. And I say it every week, DW's still here. And DW's in a wheelchair, says he can't walk. Get out of the wheelchair, blah blah blah, and then Bubba drops a quarter, and DW gets up and picks up the quarter. So that old shtick, you know, they're doing like some 1920s slapstick comedy here,
dude. I think DW even said that he's still here. That was another one where I can't believe
I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he did say that he's still here, because I remember going, yeah, no shit. Because I actually physically didn't see it. I had my back turned. I was like, yeah, DW is still here.
Eventually, him.
This has to be it, though, right?
don't say that.
We say it every week. But he somehow, how many promos did Paul cut with him?
Somehow, some way, we're going to get to like 1998. And the promos where Bubba's like calling women hoes in the audience and shit and bitches, and wow, I can't believe I don't remember DW was still there.
Oh, has to be it for DW, right? And then fucking Andre Q is gonna push him into the fucking screen with his on his wheelchair.
DW. He's like the longest reigning ECW guy. He's been there since the Florida shows. How long ago was that? Oh, yeah, that's funny that you're right. We're gonna, like, he must have definitely slipped through the cracks as far as how long he had been there. Because I'm telling you, I'm not even making this up. I was in the garage watching this when I turned my back and I heard DW. He said he was still here, and I was like, no shit. You ain't kidding.
And then we get some nice community theater with Tommy Dreamer, Beulah, and Kimona.
Man, the orgy almost.
It. Yeah.
That stuff to me was just lame. Like I was so ready for the stone cutter bottom third.
The way I look at the Tommy Dreamer with the women thing is it's
unbelievable.
It's almost like Dusty and Vince. Because Dusty and Vince, one thing they had in common was they always had to book to where every woman in the promotion wanted to fuck them.
It's okay.
You know, like Dusty eventually has to get Baby Doll. Eventually he has to get this woman. And Vince Sapphire? Did the same thing. Vince McMahon did the same thing. Sapphire? And Tommy Dreamer's the same way. It's like he wants to book to where every woman in the fucking company wants to fuck his ugly ass.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, dude, the Dusty look is the best. I gotta get me a Sloppy Joe's Key West t-shirt and wear like a sports jacket over top of it. I gotta get that. That is how I'm gonna go out one Saturday night around Knoxville.
Tommy's almost kind of like Dusty and Vince put together. Like he's got like a Dusty body with the Vince hair.
Tommy Dreamer's new name is Vince Rhodes or Dusty McMahon. You guys.
I like Dusty McMahon.
The innovator of pilots.
Dusty McMahon. Sounds like something you do to somebody. But
there had to have been.
It sounds like something time. That's in the lawsuit.
It's not Tommy Dreamer?
Of what Vince is going that's through okay. right now.
There had to have been people around, not younger than we are now, that were watching ECW around then that just had to not. I'm not buying this. You know, Tommy Dreamer is not really getting these women. There's just no way. I mean, honestly, I didn't think Kimona was that good looking anyway, to tell you the truth. So I can see that because she was a dumb Asian broad. but to put Dreamer with all these like you know quote unquote hot women, I'm like this is unbelievable. But sweet, Big Mama. Well, that's who I see Tommy Dreamer's rats are. Is Big Mama, the street people,
Rhonda Singh,
Rhonda Singh, Bertha Faye.
Dusty McMahon fucking Rhonda Singh.
Yeah, make it more believable. Peggy Lee Leather. get her Mula and May out there hugging Tommy. That's more believable.
To round out the show this week, we get a promo from Shane Douglas talking about Tommy Dreamer and Sandman, the situation that we were talking about earlier. A very quick clip of Taz talking about Too Cold Scorpio for some reason. And then we get a clip of to end the show. Looks like they're at a block party with DJ Ran and
whoever that is.
DJ Ran is actually like when I saw it, I'm like, oh, DJ Ran, that was the dude that remember when Nitro had a DJ?
Yeah,
no,
maybe nobody else remembers this.
No, I remember it. I mean, It was during the dying days of WCW, or not the dying days, not that last year, but like
is that when they had Downtown Julie Brown there too.
It's like when they were grasping at straws, you know. They're like, we got DJ Ran and Ricky Rackman on WCW. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ricky Rackman, I can relate to because I watched Headbangers Ball. I stayed up till midnight, whatever, on Saturdays to watch Headbangers Ball. So that I could understand, but whoever DJ Ran was, he stuck.
Wound up being on WCW too, so whatever. But yeah, these guys are partying with the gangsters at a meth party in the fucking
block. Well, I mean, let's be honest. Both companies, WCW and WWE, anytime they had what they would consider a celebrity, it was a celebrity only in their eyes. You know what I mean? Yeah. I didn't really think him like even to well tonight. How old is Lil Wayne? Like my wife's daughter was like in middle school, like when Lil Wayne was popular, and she's like 25.
Now he's old Wayne.
Yeah, and he's not so little
medium Wayne.
Yeah,
medium Wayne.
Like now we're seeing it in they're still doing it. They cannot get anybody current. They never do.
Well, that is it for our review of the May 14th, 1996 episode of ECW.
Steve King.
My internet's starting to cut out because of the weather.
Yeah, mine is too. We have the storm here, so we'll wrap up the show before we lose our connection here. I think that this episode of ECW was we made fucking. I don't want to say chicken salad out of chicken shit because the show wasn't bad.
Oh no, the match was good.
Yeah, it was definitely just a one match show, and I enjoyed it. And
but it's kind of hard to have a 1 hour discussion about a TV show when that's all you get is one match to talk about.
Thank you, Cruel Connection, for helping us out tonight.
we made chicken salad into chicken cordon bleu.
All right, 'cause I don't like chicken cordon bleu or chicken salad.
Aaron, Chad, quickly, any parting words for our listeners?
I'm just trying to think of some more jobbers on the way out. I'm sure this topic is going to go on well after the show, like on either the Reliving the Extreme Facebook group page or something. Because I know damn well while I'm sitting here tonight, I'm just going to hop on or in the Wrestle Network, whatever your network page is, and I'm just going to keep coming up with jobbers all day long. Jimmy Backlund.
Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next week on Reliving the Extreme.